Welcome to Speak a Dogcast. My name is David Farb, Animal Behavior Specialist, and I am broadcasting from WOUF Wolf Studios in beautiful Palm City, Florida. Thank you so much for joining me here again today. If you haven't clicked that subscribe or that follow button, do so right now. New episodes come out every Wednesday, and you're going to want to check them out. You can also follow me on Instagram at Speak a Dogcast, and be sure you join me there every single Tuesday for Training Tip Tuesday. Yes, brand new dog training tip coming at you every Tuesday on the Instagram. And if the visual thing is more your thing, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, Speak a Dogcast, and give me the thumbs up if you like what you're seeing. Yes, if you want to support the show even further, become a patron of the show today, patreon.com/speakadogcast. And if you love what you're hearing, if you love the podcast, my Apple Podcast users, my Spotify Podcast users, be sure you scroll on down and give me that 5-star rating or leave me a review. I'd really appreciate it, guys. Yes. Now on today's show, teaching your dog basic commands. We're going to go over the core basic commands that I think every dog needs to know, not only talk about them, but how to teach your dogs as well. Then we have graduating from the crate. It's not just puppies, it's rescue dogs, but ideally we always want to get our dogs out of the crates. I want my dogs to be out of the crates, and they are. And we're going to talk about how to get your dogs out of the crate as well. Then we have the history of animal mascots 101, followed by the listener Q&A. If you have any questions for the listener Q&A, you can email me questions@speakadogcast.com or message me on social media. Before we get going with today's show, I'm going to give you that trivia question. Today's question is going to be, what snakes are poisonous? Yes, what snakes are poisonous? I will give you the answer to that question somewhere in today's podcast, so be sure you stick around, sit, stay, and enjoy the show. Next on Speak a Dogcast, teaching your dog basic commands. You will find that most trainers are going to have a short list of commands that your dog should know, right? And for the most part, you're going to see a bunch of similarities in those lists, and there'll be a few differences too on where a trainer places their priorities on commands. So I'm going to give you guys my short list today of those commands, and then we're also going to run through each of those commands and teach you guys how to teach your dog the best way, at least in my opinion, right? Look, speed is of the essence sometimes. You know, when it comes to my line of work, people don't want to spend 6 months training basic commands. Rightfully so. It should not take 6 months to train basic commands. And so when it comes to something like commands, look, I'll be honest, I don't spend a ton of time honing in on commands with my clients because, quite frankly, guys, it's not that hard to teach commands. Now, solidifying them, technique, a little bit of tricks and things like that, absolutely. I'm going to show those things to my clients. But as far as like actual time we spend at sessions really working on it, no. I show them how to do it, I give them the technique, and that becomes homework because it's not something we need to spend a ton of time on because it's something the owner, you guys, can spend time on in the in-between. And look, even if your dog knows these commands, it's great to go back, revisit them. Maybe your dog doesn't sit the first or second time. Maybe it's like a third time kind of thing. I'm going to show you how to speed that up as well, right? That's the thing, is even teaching these things, we can kind of dissect certain elements of this and maybe just improve the timing of your sit, of your lie down, of your stay, or those kinds of things. So anyway, let's run through it. Let's go to it. Let's talk about the list first. It's going to be a sit. It's going to be a stay. It's going to be a lie down. It's going to be a leave it. It's going to be a drop it. Those are like my 5 core. Now, we extend a little bit further than that because, in my opinion, it's got to go a little bit further than this. There's an important one I don't have in my 5 core, and that's why it's like, look, 5 is a nice number, right? 5 is a nice, palatable number, and that's why I like to start with a sit, a stay, a lie down, a leave it, and a drop it. But we have to take it a step further with a release command. Yes, a release command is, in my opinion, almost just as important, if not just as important as the actual sit, lie down, leave it, drop it, whatever command, because it gives our dog a signal that we're done asking something from them. Very important that they understand when we truly need that focus and when they can kind of, not have to focus that much, right? So to me, a release command is handy for a slew of reasons, and we'll talk more about that as well. And then, if we're talking like adding on a few extras to this, because to me it's like, okay, core 5 and then the release command 6. Okay, so we're up to 6. But if I kind of want to take it a step further, I will put like a go on command. That's one of my favorite ones. People use different words for that, but what it kind of means is give me some space. maybe you have people coming into your home that are not the biggest dog people. It's good to have a command to tell your dog to, hey, give me some space. Your guest can go, hey, go on, leave me alone, essentially. And your dog understands to give some space. That's another great one that we can tack on there. But let's just, you know what, let's just dive right into it. We're going to start with those seven, and we'll start with the core five, right? Now, the number one most trained command when it comes to pets is, of course, a sit command, right? It's pretty simple, very simplistic. Now, before we dive into how we do the sit command, there's a couple things I want to say. A couple things that you guys at home need to note, and a few tools that you need to have prepared, ready to go. You have to have tools and the right tools to set yourself up for success to build your training. So the first thing we want to note is that our dog needs to have a proper leash and collar. Okay, proper collar is going to be the martingale collar with the chain, and the proper leash is going to be a 6-foot nylon leash or leather leash. No stretchy leashes, no extendable leashes, nothing crazy like that. Some of you out there might prefer like a 10-foot leash for training purposes, and no worries, that's fine too. But I find for my personal preferences, I like to have about 6 feet. It's not too much, not too little. So that's the best leash, in my opinion, for training. So leash and collar, and then treats and a treat pouch. Let's talk about treats for just a moment. When we're training our dogs, we want treats to be able to be a form of communication that's very black and white and very quick. I want to be able to give them a treat and move on. Give them a treat, move on. Give them a treat, move on. So in saying that, and understanding that rather, we have to have a small and meaty treat. Okay, if I have something like a crunchy treat that's going to make a mess, it makes crumbs everywhere, your dog starts looking to the floor, they're not paying attention to you, I can't just give the treat and move on. Right? I need to be able, timing is very important. I need to be able to go quick. And so that small, bite-sized, meaty treat is going to be your go-to when it comes to training. It's not to say you can't use crunchy treats at some point for other things, but guys, when it comes to training, timing and efficiency are of the essence, and that small, meaty treat will allow us to do that. Okay? And then, of course, the treat pouch. Gotta have a treat pouch. I don't want you fumbling with your pockets, any of that stuff. Just get a treat pouch, guys. Don't argue with me. All right, so leash, collar, treats, and a treat pouch. Martingale collar, regular 6-foot nylon leash, meaty treats, and a good old treat pouch. All right, so for a sit command, it's pretty simple. And again, this is where the YouTube channel might come in handy here. I'm going to show you a couple things with my hands, a little bit, just some movements and how we do things. But be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Speak a Dog Cast. You can check out some more visuals there, if you will. But when we start training a sit command, guys, what I like to do is I like to take a treat, and I like to just kind of hold it in my hand, you know, make it obvious. And I like to kind of even waft it in front of the dog's nose, out of reach a little bit, so they know that I have it. If the dog leaps up to get the treat, guys, this is why our dogs are leashed and collared. If they go to reach for it, I can give a little bit of a small correction, a little tug, not allowing them to get to that treat, but just showing them I have it, right? Creating some boundaries and parameters as we train. Then what I'll do is I'll actually take the treat and I'll guide it above their nose like this. What happens when I take the treat, and even myself, right? Like just kind of mimicking it. I'm taking a treat and putting it in front of my nose, and what happens? My head is naturally going backwards. My whole body actually ends up going backwards the more I take that treat and guide it above my nose. So I want to do that with my dog. Take the treat, guide it above the nose, and most times the dog will go right into a sit on their own. Now, at this time, I can utilize the collar and leash just a little bit to kind of guide them as I'm using that treat to get them into that position. I know I probably look ridiculous, but you get the idea. That's the point. So if I look ridiculous to give you guys the training, I'm cool with it right now. Okay, so again, a little treat over the nose, guiding them into that backup position, maybe using a little bit of leash guidance as well. And as they're going into that sit position, this is important, we want to bridge that behavior. As they start sitting down, we say, good boy, good girl. And then once they're completely sat down, the butt's on the ground, treat immediately in the face. Okay, immediately giving them a treat and rewarding the behavior. Timing is of the essence. The second the butt hits the ground, that's when the treat comes into play. Okay, so again, guys, treat above the nose, guiding them into a sit. As they start going into a sit, we're going to say, good boy, good girl. And then once the butt hits the ground, rewarding it with a treat instantly. Timing is important. Okay, bridging a behavior, as we talk about all of these today, we're going to say good boy, good girl as they start to do the behavior. Think of it this way. If our dog doesn't know a sit, right? They don't know what we're asking. They don't know what we want. Being able to say good boy, good girl as they're progressing to that behavior, to do what we want, can help get them there faster. That's why we call it a bridge. It bridges them to that reward quicker. So It doesn't need to be cray. We don't need to, oh, good girl. No. As they go down, good boy. Treat right as they sit down. I know it's kind of a little confusing, isn't it? But is that right? Okay. So we're going to be bridging all of these behaviors today. The next behavior we're going to be talking about is a lie down. So as our dog goes into a lie down, we're going to say, good lie down. Good. And then once they finally lie down, good boy, good lie down, treat, reward. How do we get the lie down? I find it easier to start with a sit position first. This is just my personal preference. I like to get, and this is why I'll train a sit first. Put the dog in a sit, and then again, treat in the hand, guide the nose, and we're going to be guiding the nose down. So it almost encourages those legs down movement. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Now, in the process of doing this, your dog might pop up on all fours. And if they do, I take the treat away. I say, no, sit, good. And we do it again. Guide the nose forward using the treat to try to guide the nose down and guiding them into a lie down position. Sometimes dogs are not entirely sure what you want as you first begin to do this. So there's nothing wrong with using just a little bit of tension, just a little bit, not much. We're not yanking, we're not correcting, we're not doing anything crazy. Just a little bit of tension, pulling downward as I'm guiding the treat forward, trying to get them into a lie down position. Once again, if they start moving into that lie down position, I'm going to say, good boy. And then once they go all the way down, only accepting all the way down, guys, reward with a treat. Okay. Now look, some trainers, and it's not that I go back and forth on this. I go back and forth using this because to me, it depends on the dog. With a lie down, some trainers will start to reward the behavior as they start to go down. Some dogs do need that extra little bit, and there's nothing wrong with rewarding progressively as we get the behavior, but some dogs are smarter than that. Some dogs go, dude, I got the reward for going halfway down. What is enticing me to go all the way down? That's why I prefer to leave what we call a jackpot reward, right? The big reward, the big tuna, the big hole, you know, the big kahuna, rather, big tuna, too much office. Big tuna, all right, no, the big kahuna, right? The whole big jackpot reward. I like to save it till the very end. You only get that big reward when you actually do the behavior. It's like giving a kid, it's like, oh, what's that? You did the first math problem of 300? Well, I guess you can have your dessert now. The kid's going to go, why am I going to do the other 299 problems? I already got my dessert. That's why I don't fully agree with trainers who reward as they go down. Like I said, exceptions to every rule. Sometimes I do find some dogs, but not most. Some dogs need that extra help on the way down, but you'll be surprised. Most dogs will do very well on just bridging the behavior with a vocal good boy and saving that jackpot reward until they actually do the behavior you're looking for. Otherwise, think of it that way. You're rewarding the behaviors you don't really want. It's like a half of the behavior. Well, why would you reward that all the way then? If it's not the behavior, you're actually going to end up confusing your dog if you think about it. Yeah. So, side note on that lie down. And any of these commands, I personally, most of the time, I will actually wait until the dog has done and completed the behavior to reward it. It's simple science when you think about it. It's the psychology and reinforcement. If the reinforcement already comes, what's the point of holding out for the full lie down for the dog? Pretty simple. Okay, now let's talk about a leave it, sit. Wait, we did sit, lie down. I'm sorry. Let's go to stay next. Let's go to the stay command. Now, a stay command, and here's going to be the eighth thing we're going to add on. We got to add on the go to your spot command. So I'm realizing, I'm like, man, we're really into this. I know this is like a lot of information, so this might be a little bit of a longer segment today, and I apologize for kind of rambling on here, but this is a lot of info. This is a lot of good info, and there's a lot to it. So let's talk about our stay command. Now, I like to just start very simple with this. We can utilize a spot if our dog already knows a spot, but I'll be honest, you don't need a spot to teach your dog to stay. It can help. It can help help us extend the stay. I like using a spot for extending the stay more than I do just teaching a normal, just to start with a stay. So how do we do this? Very simple, guys. Our dog already, I like to already teach a lie down and a sit. Okay. I like to teach those first. This is my progression. That's why I do sit, lie down, then a stay command. And we start very basic. I'm going to hold the leash. I'm going to say stay. I'm going to continue holding the leash. I'm going to say stay. I'm going to back away 1 foot and say stay again. If they continue to stay for like a second, you lean in and, excuse me, say good boy, good girl, and give them a treat. Good, stay. Good. Let them finish their treat. I'm going to do the same thing. Stay. Back away 1 foot. Say stay again. Wait a second or two. Good, good boy. Move in. Give them a reward. Third time, once they finish the treat, stay. Back away 1-2 feet. Good, stay. Good. Move in and reward. You see the progression. Not only does my distance extend, but so does the stay itself. How long I make them stay there extends more and more. We have to build upon it slowly. It's only going to start with literally 12 inches between you and your dog as a stay, because they're probably going to pop up. If they pop up, no big deal. Put them right back into a sit, rinse and repeat, go back to the last place you had success. Do not overcomplicate the stay. Don't do it. This is all it takes to start a stay, guys. Then we can start backing away 10 feet, 20 feet. Then I can start putting them in a stay and walking around the corner of my house out of sight, seeing if they continue to stay even out of sight. Then we can start adding in a spot command. We'll talk about that. Okay. The stay is one of those things I think people overcomplicate, and quite frankly, they don't need to. It is very simple. Keep it simple. Okay. Now, leave it command. We talked about this one on the Instagram recently. Speaking of, be sure you subscribe to my Instagram page. We're doing Training Tip Tuesday every single Tuesday. And the leave it command is one of those that we did on there. So I'm not going to go too in depth. We'll kind of talk about it in a nutshell so we don't go too long today. Leave it command. I'm going to take a treat, put it in my hand just like this, make a little fist, right? So I'm kind of hiding the treat, but the dog can smell it. They know it's there. We're already leashed up. I'm going to put them in a sit. I'm going to say stay. Then I'm going to guide the treat in toward their nose, right? Toward the nose, but I'm holding the leash. If I start moving in with that treat and they start moving forward to go to it, let's rewind. I fast forwarded there. Let's rewind. Have the treat in my hand. When I present it to the dog, I'm going to say, leave it. Okay, if they decide to try to move in toward the treat, a little bit of tension on the leash, pull back and say, leave it. Okay, they try to go for it again, little tension on the leash, pull back, leave it. What we're looking for here is your dog to actually kind of back away from the treat. You will see it. You'll see them even just take like a little step backward away from the treat, or eye contact away from the treat. Not looking at the treat and instead making eye contact with you. If I get either one of those things for even a split second, I'm going to say, good boy, and release them. We'll talk about the release word. Release them and let them have the treat. Now we're going to talk about the release word at the end, because honestly, I use the release word throughout all of these things, and we'll get to that. Okay. But again, that's all there is to the leave it. Okay. We teach them to leave it. And then it's the same thing. We progress to 5 seconds of leaving it, 10 seconds of leaving it, 30, whatever, so on and so forth. Then I can progress to dropping the treat on the ground, leave it, not just in my hand. Now we're going to take it to a different scenario. Treat goes on the ground, leave it. Same thing. Little bit of tension. Don't let them get to it. We get eye contact. We get backing away. Good boy. Reinforce and bridge that behavior. Okay. They continue to stay. Good boy. And then we release and let them have it. All right. That's kind of it in a nutshell. Now let's move on to the drop it command. I like to find a toy that your dog loves. Look, if you have a puppy, I start teaching this from day one. I mean, and that's the thing about these commands, guys. Well, I say I do teach them in order, and to some degree, I absolutely do. These all are happening all the time. Training opportunities present themselves constantly to you. And playtime is one of those moments where people don't think to incorporate training, and you should be. Just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You should be incorporating training into your playtime, and a drop it command is one of the best ways to do it. We're playing tug of war. We're playing tug of war. Oh, okay, we're having fun. We're having fun. And then I'm going to stiffen up and say, drop it. Your dog's going to keep tugging at it. And you're going to go, no, stay stiff and say, no, drop it. I'm going to stay stiff and that's it. I'm going to hold it. And eventually they're going to get bored and relinquish it. Once they relinquish it, good boy, good job. Release them and let them have the toy again. Good boy. Play tug of war again. Stop moving. Drop it. Drop it. They're going to keep tugging a little bit. No big deal. You say, no, stiffen up, drop it. Wait them out, guys. Wait them out. It's not a big deal, because the thing is, they'll stop having fun because you're not pulling back anymore. And then all of a sudden they realize, wait a second, dropping it gets me praise and reward. Cool, let's do that. We can incorporate treats into this too. You don't have to, and that's why I start with not even saying treats. We don't even need to use a treat for this. Do you know why? Giving the toy back to the dog is the treat, is the reward, is the positive reinforcement, adding a stimulus. I'm not getting into that. But that's what it is. So I don't necessarily have to have treats for the drop it command, but it's not a bad idea to throw it in there every now and then, because it's a good idea to use food to reinforce any desired behaviors. Okay, let's talk about our release command for a second. My release word is the word all right, okay? And it's very simple. It's very simplistic, guys. If you ask your dog to do something, a sit, a stay, a lie down, a leave it, a drop it, they should continue doing that behavior until you release them. It's very simple. If I ask for a sit, they should continue to sit until I say, all right, and then they can pop up and do whatever they want. It's a very black and white way for your dog to acknowledge, hey, he's asking something from me. Oh, now we're good and I can go do my thing. But then once I release them, they can go do their thing. And then I can always redirect it, get it back. Hey, come here. Good boy. Sit, stay. Continue staying until I say, all right. Okay. I start doing this from day one with the sit command, guys. When I start teaching the sit, I will simultaneously start teaching the release word. When I'm teaching a lie down, I will use the release word. When I'm teaching a leave it, I will use the release word. When I'm teaching a drop it, I will release the toy back to them. All right, you can have it now. It makes it so easy for your dog to understand how everything works. It makes it easier for your dog to understand there is a boundary here. Okay? Walking out the front door, sit, stay, good boy. I can walk out the front door. Okay, all right, we can release him. Crate, same thing, sit, stay in the crate. We talked about crate yesterday on the Training Tip Tuesday. Once again, go subscribe to my Instagram and YouTube channel. Check them out, guys. Training Tip Tuesdays are on there. But we talked about crate training, and we use the release word. Very, very important stuff, guys. The release word is such an important tool, and your dog absolutely needs to know one. That simple. Okay, we're going to go over the go on command really quick. I like to use, look, in a nutshell, I like to use two people to train this command. It makes it easier and it makes it faster. So basically, what you're going to do is you're going to get, you know, I usually like to say find the favorite person in the house. Y'all know what I'm saying. The dogs like somebody a little bit more than the other people, and that's fine. And I want that person to go sit on the couch. Okay, now, the other person, the second person in this scenario, is going to leash up the dog and you're going to start walking over to the couch. The person on the couch is going to, the person on the couch is going to say, once the dog starts approaching them, you're going to say, go on. The second person who's holding the leash is then going to guide the dog away. No problem, guys. Martingale collar and a leash. Little correction. Guide them the opposite direction away from the couch and say, good boy, and give them a treat. Guide them back toward the couch again. They're going to want to walk over, say hi to their favorite person. Favorite person is going to say, no, go on. Mine's a little, I do like a finger point, like go on, go away from me. It sounds so mean, but it's not. It's just give me space. Go on, right? Person's going to give a little tug on the collar, little redirection. The dog walks and turns away from the couch. Good boy, reward. Rinse and repeat again. Take the dog toward the couch. They start walking toward the person. Person says, go on. Second person on the leash, guides them, walks away, reinforces, reward. That is how simple a go-on command is. Last but not least, the spot command, the place command, the station training, the go-to-your-dog-bed command, go lie down sometimes, people, all these different ways. You guys, you can say whatever you want for it. It doesn't matter. I call it a spot, okay? It just means go to your dog bed, okay? This is really simplistic. Put a spot, put a dog bed on the ground, leash up your dog, walk them over to it, guide them on it, say go to your spot as you approach it. If so much as one paw touches the dog bed, they put one paw on the dog bed, you're gonna say, good boy, good girl. This is one of those I don't have a problem with rewarding right away, because your dog will start to figure out throwing their feet on there is what gets them something. So this is one of those I don't have a problem. They get one foot on the dog bed the first time, give them a treat. Give them a treat. Okay, but the thing is, we've also got them leashed up. So there's nothing wrong with kind of pulling them, not pulling them, but you know what I mean, very carefully guiding them, pulling them onto the dog bed to get all four of those feet on there. And when all four of those feet on there, good boy, give them treats and reward. Then tell them stay, good. And then, all right, release them off the dog bed. Okay, that's how we're going to do this. Very simple. Guide them to the dog bed, reward when they're on the dog bed, tell them stay, then release them. Then I'll start maybe asking for a sit, a lie down, a stay. I start changing it up on the dog bed so that spot is, command becomes versatile and I can use it in any way I need to, whether it's the front door, just calming down, different things. But guys, the only way to train a spot command is leashing them up, not the only way, the best way, leashing them up, guiding them over, bridging the behavior once they so much as touch it with one foot, and rewarding the heck out of it with treats once they get fully on there. Whew. All right, that was a lot. That was a long segment today, I know. All right, so just to review, guys, we have a sit, we have a stay, we have a lie down, we have a leave it, we have a drop it, we have a release command, as we talked about. Very important. If you guys learned about that today, that's new info, please take that and run with it. It's very, very important to utilize a release command. Then we have the go on command, and then we have our spot command. 8 commands for you guys today. That's a lot of homework. Go work on it. Good luck to you guys. And of course, if you have any questions about this, you can email me, questions@speakadogcast.com. Message me on social media. If you want, even we can feature a question potentially on the show, on the question and answer segment. So feel free to reach out to me. But good luck. Get working on those commands. And even if your dog already knows these commands, there is no harm in reviewing it, trying to make it better, trying to make the timing better. So good luck out there, guys, and get going on those commands. Are you tired of your dog barking all the time? Or maybe you want them to stop jumping on people when they come over? Or does your dog take you for a walk instead of the other way around? Well, we can help. At The Nature of Training and Speak a Dogcast, we are committed to improving the relationships and lives people have with their pets. No matter what behavioral issue you are experiencing, from an unruly puppy to more severe issues, we can help. Our virtual training programs are catered to you and your pet and create a training plan that gets results. For more information, you can check out our website at www.thenatureoftraining.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Speak a Dogcast. With the ability to connect, teach, and train with pet owners around the world, together we can make a better home for our furry friends. The Nature of Training and Speak a Dogcast, helping you achieve success with your pet. On Speak a Dogcast, graduating from the crate. Everybody wants to get their dog out of the crate. I mean, very few people, I think, actually wanted to crate their dogs, and I don't know why those people want to crate their dogs, because I think it's better to let your dog be out in the house. That would be an ideal situation for so many reasons. You know, I mean, obviously, we don't want our dogs cooped up in a crate for a long period of time. From the protection aspect, I would rather have my dogs loose in the house, and my dogs are loose in the house. I would pity the fool that would break into my my home. But that's the thing. I want them to be out. I want my dogs to be a part of my home and not have to be in a crate all the time. And, you know, even now we've gotten to a point where Nemo is now out of his crate. There were times when I questioned if it would ever be possible. Oh my gosh. That dog gave me a run for my money with his anxiety issues and the amount of rehabilitation work we had to do with him. But he's also, you know, he's a blue tick coonhound. They're not an easy breed to begin with. And then the amount of issues that he had. Anyway, we've graduated him from the crate. He has graduated from the crate. I'm so proud of him. He's doing so, so well. And so I want to talk about graduating your dog from the crate. Because, like, for example, Nemo is a particular situation. Nemo was a tough, tough nut. And an emphasis on the nut. again, look, any of you newer listeners who don't know, Nemo is a blue tick coonhound. He was a rescue. He had been returned, I think, 2 or 3 times at least. He's got a kink tail. If you ever see any pictures or videos of him on my Instagram, he's got a kink tail. And we don't know what happened to him. At some point, his tail got injured and it didn't heal back correctly. Luckily, he's not in any pain or anything from it now. But it's one of those things where we don't know his story. And we really have absolutely no idea what happened to him. What I can tell you is it probably wasn't great. It probably wasn't great before the rescue picked him up. And I think he had a very rough life. And and with that, you know, one of the things I hear, Nemo had such issues of being trapped, being confined, even in my house, guys. Hell, even on my 5-acre property, he would nuts. He was nuts. And so this is one of these things I hear from people where they go, I don't want to, my dog's nuts. I can't put him in the crate. It's like, look, guys, it wasn't pretty with Nemo, but the crate is what was necessary to get him past all his crap, all his baggage. You know, we had to utilize a crate, and it wasn't always pretty, but we got to a point where he went in there voluntarily on his own, no problem, put him away when we left, and it was wonderful. And that's what has allowed us to get him to graduating from the crate. But people that have dogs that may be destructive or have anxiety issues that don't want to utilize a crate, I don't know what to tell you. So this is me going, there is hope for those of you naysayers. There is hope for those of you skeptics. You can graduate from the crate. For those of you guys that have been doing it well, here's the reward. Let's talk about getting your pup out of the crate at your home. Okay, so here's the thing. You have to have success in the crate in order to get them out of the crate. I mean, it's just, there's no other way to put it. If your dog isn't successfully calm in the crate, isn't destroying, will lay there and be cool with going in the crate as if the crate wasn't even there, you're not going to be able to get them out of that. Okay? So, you know, let's say you feel like you've made progress, but you've hit a wall with your crate training. Let's talk about how we get over that wall, how we get over that hump. And look, one of the biggest ways we're going to get our dogs over the hump of anxiety or stress or being able to get them out of the crate, it's going to be exercise. Every single darn time, it is going to be exercise. You know, we just talked about this recently on the show where, look, the truth of the matter is majority of the people, majority of pet owners, and I'm just being honest, majority of dog owners, I can't say we because that's not me. You don't exercise your dogs enough. You just don't. Dogs were meant to work. Dogs were meant to do things. They were meant to have a job. And putting a dog in a house and locking them up for 8 hours plus a day, some of them, that's not exercise. That's not a job, and that's not giving them fulfillment. So just the reality is a lot of these separation anxieties issues to begin with come from a lack of exercise. So if you are finding that maybe, you know, look, you are exercising your dog and you have made progress with the crate, but you're not getting to the point of graduating from it, up your exercise. Serious guys, up your exercise. There's plenty of ways to do it, whether it's through walks, which we should be doing anyway. That should be the base core foundation of our exercise. But there's other ways. There's playtime. There's playing with a tennis ball. There's swimming. There's socializing with other dogs, dog parks, doggy day camps, doggy treadmills. There are other ways to get our dogs physical and mental exercise that don't necessarily involve the walk. Now, again, that's not that wasn't my free pass to not walk your dogs. I'm simply saying there are other ways to supplement it, because if you are already walking your dog, you don't have time to do more walks, but your dog is still not getting there. Got to do those other options, guys. Got to do those other options, even like a doggy day camp if you don't have the time, right? So food for thought on graduating from the crate. One of the best ways we can tip the scale is exercising our dogs more through all the different ways. Okay. I can't stress it enough, though. I really can't. Now, the next way we want to graduate our dogs from the crate is we need to be aware of what's going on when we're not home. You know, it's something we couldn't do 20 years ago. And now you can with all these amazing cameras that we can put up, and they're very affordable. Guys, if you've got a dog with crate issues or anxiety issues, a camera is a must. It is going to help you graduate from the crate because it's going to allow you to really measure your progress and truly see what your dog is doing when you're not there. I knew somebody, I knew Nemo did this too. He would hear me come home and immediately lie down and relax. Mm-hmm. But I knew better. I knew he wasn't doing that. I'm just like, dude, you're faking. I can tell. I can just see it in his body language when I got home. And so I put the camera on, and sure enough, yeah, he would bark, and then he'd hear me come home and lie down and pretend like he was relaxed. Smart dog. Very too smart for his own good. That's why he got himself into so much trouble, the poor guy. But anyway, you got to have that camera because it allowed me to see what was happening. And then on top of that, it allowed me to measure it. Right? Because it started with, yeah, he'd be crazy the whole time that I was gone. And then it turned into, well, it was only about 3/4 of the amount of time I was gone. Then only like right when I left, he would bark a little and then stop. And then it turned into, he didn't bark at all. Boom. There's my measurement going, now we've got success in the crate. Now I know he's being calm. Now we're moving toward being able to let him out. But until I know that my dog is calm in the crate the entire time I'm gone, I can't let him out. It's a bad idea. It's just going to reinforce that behavior of anxiety. All right. So those two things right there, upping the exercise and getting a camera, having some way to be aware, a measurable way to see where your dog's anxiety is when you're not home. Okay. Then where does it start, right? Like, so, okay, David, how do we get him out of the crate? Now, look, guys, I'm an advocate of the crate at night and when you're gone. If we have a puppy or we have a dog with anxiety issues, the crate must be used both at nighttime and when you're gone. So that way it allows us to establish the crate as a boundary at night, calm, right? Normally dogs are sleeping. So it helps associate that calmness of the crate. So this is the first way I let them graduate from the crate, letting them stay out of the crate at night. Now, guys, know your house, know your dog, do this safely. Maybe the first night we need to think about locking them in the bedroom with us so they don't get out into the house and get themselves into trouble, right? So be smart about this. Don't just give your dog free rein if you haven't exercised them that day. Come on, set them up for success. Make sure they've been exercised hard that day. Then I'm going to let them out of the crate at night and see what happens. If they do great for a couple weeks, you heard me correctly, not a night or two, but a couple of weeks of success out of the crate at night, then I'm going to consider letting them out during the day. But we're not just going to go full blown 8 hours or however long you're gone for work. No. The first crate out of the crate experience is going to be you're leaving the house for 20 to 30 minutes and you will be back in 20 to 30 minutes. No longer. Your first trip with leaving your dog out of the crate should not be longer than that. And with that said, guys, I like to test it out in other ways. You know, I'll leave them out of the crate and pretend I'm leaving. Grab my keys, grab my shoes, open the garage door, whatever your routine might be, and I will leave the house and then pull out my phone and watch the camera and see what they do for 5 minutes. Okay? If they're calm, they're cool, they don't care, I go back inside, I don't make it a big deal, and there we are. All right? So that's how we start to graduate. And with that said, guys, when you come home, like I just said, when you come home, don't make it a big deal. One of the worst things you can do is make it a huge deal that you came home and your dog was, oh, you're out of the crate, everything was great. Blah, blah, blah. No, you're making it a big deal that you were gone. That's not what we want to do. You coming home should just be, yeah, hey, good boy, and we're done. That's it. Your dog will learn to be happy to see you and not overexcited eventually, and we'll be able to go over and get a little excited with them. But for now, guys, we don't want to inadvertently make that anxiety come back or reinforce it or any of those things. So think about that when you get home. We want to be calm, okay? So again, guys, 20, 30 minutes. We're going to do a couple of those for a couple of weeks, okay? And then anything longer than 20, 30 minutes, they need to go back in their crate. Then we're going to pump it up to an hour. If they're doing really well for a couple of weeks being out of the crate, 20, 30 minutes, pump it up to an hour, then 2 hours, then so on and so forth, okay? But you've got to take this slowly. You've got to take your time, and you've got to do it in these steps. You can't skip a step. There's no shortcuts in dog training, guys. And how fast or how slow we progress through these steps, at the end of the day, it's really up to your dog. It's really up to your dog. We have to move at their speed and not push it too fast or not go too slow, okay? But, you know, it's a lot to think about, too. It's a lot. I mean, a lot of things go into crating that you may have gone, man, I didn't really think about that, David. Yeah. So, again, guys, up the exercise. Up the exercise. Then we're going to start with letting them out of the crate only at night. Few weeks of that, gaining success. Once we're good there, we're going to try only 20 to 30 minutes at a time for a few weeks, letting them out of the crate in the middle of the day. If all is well, all is successful, then we can pump it up to an hour, two, three, whatever. Don't forget, guys, get one of those cameras, utilize the camera. And if you can, like I said, I really like to time it. I like to see, okay, Fluffy was nuts for 30 minutes today while I was gone in the crate. Oh, next day it was only 25. Oh, look at that. Third day, 20 minutes. If you can see that breakdown, it really helps speed up your training with your dog because, I mean, it's measurable, right? You have actual evidence and information that you can work with and utilize. So something to consider. But hey, I hope that information helps you out. Get your dog out of the crate. And hey, isn't that what we all want, right? Like I want, isn't that what we all want? Yes. Yes, it is. So good luck to you guys. Let me know if you have any questions and I hope your dogs will graduate from the crate soon. Next on Speak a Dogcast, it's the history of Animal Mascots 101. Today, we'll be talking about the University of Rhode Island. Originally founded in 1892 as the Rhode Island Institute of Agricultural and the Mechanic Arts, the school has grown into the flagship public research university of Rhode Island. And last year, their mascot actually celebrated its 100th birthday. Yes, now since 1923, the University of Rhode Island, or URI, they have been known as the Rams. Yes, 1923 is when it was made official, but it was not until 1929 that a Ram mascot made an appearance at a football game. For a time, Live Ram was brought to the games, and his name was, I love it, Ramses. That's great. But eventually, the Live Ram, well, he was retired, and a student in a costume has been used ever since. Now, the name also changed over time, as now the name is Rhodey the Ram. Yes, Rhodey the Ram, no longer Ramsey's. I liked Ramsey's better, I'm not going to lie. And now, in the late 90s, Rhodey actually found himself in some trouble with the NCAA and one of their opponents. In 1998, the Rams were playing the St. Joe's Hawks. Now, we've learned on this segment, actually, we learned previously about the St. Joe Hawks and how their mascot continues to flap his wings throughout the entire game without stopping. It's actually really incredible. If you get a second, you really should go look up the story of the St. Joe's mascot. It is really neat. But Rhodey the Ram had the idea to take an inner tube and place it over the top of the hawk as to stop him from being able to flap. The whole thing was caught on camera, of course, and in the process, the St. Joe's Hawk's head ended up coming off, and the student in the St. Joe's costume really, you know, he ran over and tried to fight Rhodey. Yes, now the incident placed Rhodey in the hot seat with the NCAA, and of course, a slot on SportsCenter, where the clip was replayed over and over. The answer to today's trivia question, what snakes are poisonous? None! It's a trick question. Yes, snakes are actually not poisonous. They are venomous, right? Poison actually has to be secreted, right? It's more of a defense mechanism. So like some amphibians, some toads will secrete poison as a defense mechanism to avoid being eaten. And that's a secretion of poison. But venom, on the other hand, has to be injected. So there must be some mechanism, some medium to be injecting the poison. Obviously, we know snakes have fangs and they inject poison. Another creature that you might think of is like a scorpion, right? They have a stinger. That's going to be venom and not poison. So again, no such thing as a poisonous snake. One of my biggest pet peeves. Stop calling them poisonous. They're not poisonous. Poison has to be secreted or ingested, and venom has to be injected. Next on Speaky Dogcast, it's the listener Q&A. The first question today comes from Karen from Long Island, New York. Karen asks, pretty simple question for you. Do you have a favorite dog shampoo that you use? Hey, Karen, thanks for the question. Yes, very simplistic question. I like a few of them. Honestly, I rotate a little bit, and it also depends because I have different dogs with different needs. Sometimes my golden retriever, she's that cream, English cream colored golden. I like to use a whitening shampoo sometimes with her, but I do tend to like the Burt's Bees. I like Burt's Bees products, their shampoos, conditioners. They smell nice. I like them. But like I said, I rotate sometimes. I really do. And, you know, it really is going to depend on the dog and what I'm trying to accomplish. Sometimes I'll use a deep cleansing. Like I said, the whitening, it just depends. But what I will say is some people are not aware. And, you know, I think it's mostly men, if I'm just being honest, because we don't, you know, I have long hair, but not all men do. Shampooing. A secret about shampooing your dogs, guys, and it's not a secret. It shouldn't be because what are the instructions on a shampoo bottle say for human beings? It says, you know, rinse and lather and then, lather and then rinse and repeat. There it is, rinse and repeat. And we all laugh. We know that rinse and repeat, but how many of us shampoo our hair twice? I know all the women out there are laughing going, David, of course, everybody does. No, I bet you most men you know do not. Guys, shampoo works a lot better if you use it twice. Okay. So a little tip secret, if you're not shampooing your dog twice and you feel like they just don't get clean, you need to be doing it twice. And if you have a long hair dog, like really like a gold, even a golden, right? But if you've got a lot of fur on your dog, three times to shampoo might not be a bad idea. The same time, don't overdo it. Make sure you're using a quality shampoo that's not going to dry out your dog's skin. Make sure you're not bathing too often. Dogs shouldn't be bathed too often because you don't want to strip all those natural oils that they have that they need that are good for them, okay? So, but yeah, definitely shampoo twice. Rinse and repeat, guys. Makes a huge difference when you're cleaning your dogs. But like I said, Karen, Burt's Bees, that tends to be one of my favorites. Next question. This comes from Aaron from Atlanta, Georgia. Aaron says, I have a Shih Tzu puppy, and thanks to your guidance, things are going very well with him. That's awesome, Aaron. Thank you. Now, the only issue I'm having is with his grooming. He really does not like the brush. Obviously, he's a Shih Tzu, so he better get used to it. Any tips on getting him comfortable with the brush would be appreciated. Aaron, thank you so much for the question. And hey, thank you for listening to the podcast. Glad the information has been helpful and you've been utilizing it. It's fantastic. I love it. I love it. But yeah, brushing, look, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Maybe you got a knot once or twice on him and he didn't like that and he's associating that. It happens. But one of the best things you can do is distract. I have no problems with using a little bit of safe peanut butter. And I say safe peanut butter because I have to give the disclaimer. Everybody make sure we're aware. Some peanut butters are sweetened with an artificial sweetener called xylitol. It's spelled with an X. It's very toxic for dogs. It can literally kill dogs. So please, 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 whenever I say use peanut butter, be careful, be cautious, and know it's in your peanut butter. Read the label. You're usually safe by going to the natural peanut butters. We always use natural peanut butter in our house. You'll notice it'll say like sugar as the sweetener, specifically say that. So something to think about. But I like to take a little peanut butter and smear it on the ground. Seriously, a little smear of peanut butter. Let your dog lick it. Not too much. You have a shih tzu. Don't overdo it. But a little smear to distract him while you brush him. Start slow. Start very easy with just little brushings in places that are easy to get to that may not be in like a armpit or an ear. Just start on the back really lightly as he eats the peanut butter to try to associate it. You can also have somebody just feed him treats a little bit to try to distract. But those are those kind of things I like to try to redirect. If it really becomes a problem, you may need to leash him up and correct the behavior. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I prefer to try to redirect the behavior first. Peanut butter goes a long way. What dog doesn't love peanut butter? So give that a shot. Try to associate grooming and brushing as something he enjoys, that he can enjoy. Give him something to enjoy so he can make that association and recondition the behavior. So good luck, Aaron. Let me know if you need any more help. That's going to wrap up the podcast today. Thank you so much for listening in. If you haven't clicked that subscribe or that follow button, do so right now. New episodes come out every Wednesday, and you're going to want to check them out. You can follow me on Instagram at SpeakADogCast, subscribe to my YouTube channel at SpeakADogCast, become a patron of the show at patreon.com/SpeakADogCast. If you love the show, if you love what you're hearing, give me that 5-star rating, leave me a review. I would really appreciate it, guys. I want to thank my patrons, my pup supporter, Regula Wright, and my dog friend, Maureen Crossett. Have a wonderful week, and don't forget, get out there and walk your dog.